Well, anyway, did you know that 5 out of 6 ministers and theological students believe that God acts upon or operates in human lives through the Holy Spirit? And yet, almost none of them can agree amongst themselves what the Holy Spirit is. They even hold opposing views of why the Holy Spirit is even needed. They disagree about how people receive it, and if they actually receive it, how do they know they have it? They teach that the Holy Spirit is a separate person, thus the belief in the Trinity. There's only one Spirit, and it comes from God to us through Jesus Christ. It's not a separate entity. It's essential that we have it, or we will never achieve eternal life. The Holy Spirit is something none of us can earn or get on our own. The Holy Spirit is the gift which we've heard this morning and this afternoon. Acts 10:44, if you would please. Acts 10:44. Speaking of the gift from God. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those hearing the word, and those of the circumcision, the Israelites, who believed, as many came with Peter, were astonished because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured upon the Gentiles also. Acts 11, verse 15 through 17. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, upon us as in the beginning. Then I remembered the words of the Eternal when he said, John indeed baptized with water. That would be John the Baptist. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I? He says, that I could withstand God. When we obey God, brethren, he will hear us when we talk to him. 1 John 34. And the person who keeps his commandments resides in God, and God in him. By this we know that God resides in us by the Spirit he has, once again, given us. We can't earn it. It is a gift. There is one key fact that we must all do first, which was mentioned in Acts by the Apostle Peter. And it's again been mentioned today. We must repent. To repent is to turn away from our past lives of sin and disobedience and turn ourselves around, as we heard, and head in a direction that leads to a new way of life in obedience to God's way of life that is revealed in his word. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In order to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, there must also be a laying on of hands. Well, Peter and John heard that the brethren in Samaria had received the word of God. So they went there, and they prayed for the brethren there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. The Samaritan brethren were baptized by John the Baptist. So they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. But Peter and John laid hands on them, and they received that Holy Spirit. When we do what we need to do to receive the Holy Spirit, then and only then are we unconditionally promised by God to receive the gift of His Holy Spirit from Him. For God has bound Himself to perform His part if we do ours and what is required of us. So here we are, all 50, 51, 2, 3 of us, on this day, June the 5th, 2022, a day that pictures the giving of the Holy Spirit, a day in the plan of God called Pentecost, and also known as the Feast of First Fruits. Jesus Christ kept this day. He has taught His disciples to do the same, and they in turn taught the brethren of the New Testament churches, and it has carried on down to us today. Christ observed and kept this day of Pentecost, so why do those who say they follow Christ know very little about what this day Pentecost represents? Why has this very important feast day commanded by God's church been buried by other religions? God gave His Sabbath and holy days to be a sign between His people. Exodus 31:13 states, "My Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout all your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord your God that does sanctify or has set you apart." God chose Israel to be His people. He taught them to understand His purpose, which he was to work out on this earth. Turn with me to Exodus 19, verse 5. "Now therefore, if you obey my voice," God says, "indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a particular or a special treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." But you know, if a nation of Israel obeyed God, they would have been used to bring His knowledge throughout all the earth. Everybody would know about it. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 8. I took this from the New Living Bible. I like the way it's stated this. "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk to them when you are home, and when you're on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders." But you know, brethren, that didn't happen, did it? They kept their own ways of doing things and totally rejected God's truth and instructions time after time. Those who don't have God's Spirit cannot worship Him properly, nor can they know the truth. People may know some facts, but the strength to live God's way isn't in them. Romans 8:9. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. In other words, brethren, he or she is not Christian if they don't have God's Spirit within them. No matter how many on this earth state wholeheartedly that they are Christians, they are deceiving themselves for the Spirit of God. For if the Spirit of God, His Holy Spirit, is not dwelling within them, they are not Christians, plain and simple. Just a side note or a little something that happened to me years ago, many years ago. I was in a conversation, the three or four of us were in a conversation with another individual, and we were talking about the Spirit of God being in people to be called Christians. And this one individual said, well, my parents are, my dad is a preacher, have been for a long time. I think they was a Methodist. His dad was a Methodist. And he says, they're Christian. I says, yeah, but do they have they had hands laid on them to receive God's Holy Spirit? I said, well, if they didn't have hands laid on them to receive God's Spirit by instructions from this book, I'm sorry to say they are not Christian. He just seemed to turn red. He couldn't give me an answer. He just turned on his heels and walked away. And I still hold the fact, again, we've read by the scriptures, if you don't have God's Spirit within you, you are not Christian. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11 and 12. Who can know the things about man except a man's own spirit that is in him? It is the same with God. Who can understand him except the Holy Spirit? We have not received the spirit of the world, man's way of life. God has given us his Holy Spirit that we may know about the things given to us by him. Only through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit can we know about God and his plans for mankind. But please understand, the only ones given God's Spirit, again, are those who obey him as set forth in the scriptures. The unconverted mind may learn some facts of a biblical nature, but having the truth requires true understanding to God's way of life. And that is only given by through God's Spirit dwelling within them. With his Spirit leading and guiding them, then they will live a way of life that will be pleasing to God. God is not trying to save all of mankind now. Oh, we've heard today too that, you know, we might have God's Spirit, but we still mess up, don't we? We still make wrong decisions, but our loving Father will forgive us when we repent and say we're sorry and try not to do it again. God is leaving mankind to his own devices and ways of doing things that they might see that Satan's way of deceit, sin, and greed is not the way to go. For it only leads to misfortune, misery, and death physically, and eventually even eternal death if they refuse to repent. By the indwelling of God's Spirit within us, and by keeping God's commanded festivals, can we fully understand His plan for us, and eventually for all mankind, for those who will choose His way of life. All of us sitting here today just have a tiny portion of God's Spirit in us now, which has connected with our minds, empowering us to overcome and control our carnal human nature. Mr. Herbert Armstrong once said, "The missing link in man was God's Spirit." Jesus Christ, the apostles, and those who believe what Christ had to say in those short 3.5 years of His ministry understood that Pentecost was one of God's commanded feasts that should be kept in due season, and they kept it. And so it was on the day of Pentecost, 31 AD, that the Holy Spirit was given to a select few. Christ had this to say just before He ascended to heaven concerning His Holy Spirit. Turn with me to John 14. John 14, verses 12 through 17. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. The greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name," Christ says, "I will do it, for he's our mediator. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and the Father will give you another helper, that it may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because the world neither sees it nor knows it, but you know it, for it dwells in you, and it will be in you." Scriptures also say, "For many are called, and few are chosen." Well, brethren, we are the few sitting here today, chosen. We are those who have been baptized, had hands laid on us, and received the gift from God, His Holy Spirit. The church today follows the practice and customs of the church. The Church of God, a worldwide association, follows Jesus' own example in keeping Pentecost on the day he and his disciples kept it, on the same date when the New Testament church began. We may not fail to observe this day of Pentecost. I hope we don't. And faithfully understand it, because we are chosen, the chosen few, known as the first fruits. We should never, ever take what God has, what God has to tell us for granted, no matter what. Always believe what's written in this book. But always hold on to God's truth and His way of life, so that each and every one of us, along with millions of others who God has called down through the ages and will call in the future, that one day we will all be together, loving and serving our Father and Jesus Christ in heaven, in his kingdom. The day of Pentecost is a very important date, most probably the important date of our lives, when we receive again the gift from our Father, his Holy Spirit, that gives us the knowledge and the understanding to fight Satan and his way of life and his demons. Without that, we're on our own and we can't do it. We can't do it. We need a helper, and that is God's Holy Spirit. So let's keep the faith, love each other, assemble ourselves together, that we can become a family, God's sons and daughters, that we can be brothers and sisters forever in God's kingdom, serving and honoring Him, whatever he sees fit for us to do.